Stay tuned for Hedda Hopper, transcribed in 20 seconds. Gloria Swanson returns to Theatre Guild on the Air tonight to star with Hume Cronin and Margaret Phillips in a one-hour adaptation of the dramatic play, Promise. Promise is the hectic story of a lovely and selfish woman. It's a story of beauty, comedy, and intrigue. Later on Theatre Guild on the Air. For drama of another kind, drama from the plains of Texas, hear Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers this evening.
From Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. Hedda Hopper, who daily reports to 30 million readers in America and 8 foreign countries, now reports to you on the air. Here is Hedda Hopper's Hollywood, from the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. And here she is, Hedda Hopper.
Hello, everybody. Look over my shoulder while I write my column. We'll have news about famous people here and elsewhere, and personal visits with Tony Martin, Hope Emerson, John Hodiak, and Ann Baxter. Okay, let's go. Jeanette MacDonald is hitting the headlines in many Austrian newspapers. A family there named Lang claimed that Jeanette is their daughter. Well, for their information and to set the record straight, Jeanette's mother passed away in Beverly Hills, May 17, 1947. Jeff Chandler and his wife are enjoying a trial separation. She's in New York, he's here. They've been married 4.5 years and have 2 children. Mickey Rooney's trying desperately to get Martha Vickers back again. Helen Broderick is certain her son, Broad Crawford, and his wife will reconcile. She says, it's only a family spat. It's the old question of actors. I suppose Broad read a book and became neurotic. Actors are like acrobats. Never give them a book. You know, the only happy people here are those who get on Queen for a day.
Oh, for just the chance to love you. Would I love you, love you, love you. To take you in my arms has always been my goal.
Case history of a song. 3 weeks ago, Would I Love You, Love You, Love You was recorded by RCA Victor. Now, after it's been on the market only 2 weeks, Billboard magazine picked it as the new record most likely to be a surefire hit. A freak phenomenon? No. A miracle pulled off time and time again in the last few years by one of the few men who turn out million record sales every time he's at bat. Tony Martin.
Sure as there's a moon above you, would I love you, love you, love you. With all my heart and soul, with all my heart and soul.
Riding the crest of the wave these days. Just signed a sensational new recording contract with millions of...
30 million readers in America and 8 foreign countries.
Tony, you just finished a Technicolor picture at RKO. 2 tickets to Broadway for those fabulous boys.
Why, your minute 22nd part in Sunset Boulevard was stupendous.
Your voice is more wonderful than...
I heard you last week gilding like a bird. Hedda... Hey, look, what kind of routine is this? And why the buildup of Martin?
Oh, I want you to sing another song, that's all. But why did you try to turn it into a love duet?
Oh, well, your program is on NBC, Hedda. I thought you might wangle me a couple of tickets to the Tallulah Bankhead show.
Sing, Tony.
I'll try,
sing.
Hedda.
That old music has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. The way your eyes look when your lips be talk. The same old feeling that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride. And down I go. Round and round I go like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I could stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name, I breathe a flame. A flame with such a burning desire. That only your kiss can put out the fire. For you're the lover I have waited for. The maid that fate had me created for.
Selling her husband, Douglas Fairbanks, old movies for television. Wouldn't surprise me if they'd give Hopalong Cassidy plenty of competition. I've had thousands of letters claiming that Hollywood doesn't make enough Protestant pictures. I'd climb the highest mountain should make these writers mighty happy. Ed Sullivan, publicist, not the columnist, will be godfather, and director Henry King's daughter Martha, godmother to Daryl Zanuck's grandchild, whose parents are Mr. and Mrs. Robert Jacks. Ginny Sims, after 5.5 years of marriage, begins all over again. She's the mother of 2 children, and her bank account looks as though an elephant had sat on it. She tells me her marriage to Hyatt Dane cost her over $500,000. She loaned him money for his business, gave power of attorney to his secretary. She paid all the bills except one. He paid the doctor bill for their first child. Ginny says, I was always too busy working to look after my business, and now I have no business to look after. You know, there's some strange customs among Hollywood movie makers, one of them, and I've taken plenty of pot shots at this one, is typecasting. But there's a direct reverse of typecasting that's just as short-sighted. The peculiar habit of taking a dramatic actor from the stage and putting him only in musicals, or hiring a dancer and never letting him dance. In other words, failing to use an actor's known talent.
And that's as far as you got, Hedda Hopper, when I disagree.
Yes, believe it or not, the last time I was sounding off on this subject, an actress named Hope Emerson spoke right out in defense of this strange custom.
And I still defend it, and I don't think it's strange at all. I don't think it hurts an actor. In fact, it often helps him.
Hope, now wait a minute. You're an example of it yourself. For years, you were a successful singing comedian on the stage.
And now I'm a horror in the movies, I know.
Yes, they've made you a heavier villain. You were the cruel prison matron in Caged, and were nominated for a supporting Oscar.
Well, should I object?
Hope, I don't mean that. But you're an exception. You switched over successfully.
But so did Walter Pidgeon, didn't he? He was a singer on the stage, you know. And Marjorie Maine, she was a heavy dramatic actress, like in Dead End. You wouldn't say they haven't been successful in their new type roles, would you?
Of course not. But for every success, there are a dozen whose careers have suffered because they haven't had a chance to do what they do best.
Hedda, I'm a big girl, over 6 feet tall. So when I started out, I had to be a comedian. To me, it was a big break when Hollywood producers thought of me as a dramatic actress.
I know, that's what you said before.
But they gave me a chance to play villains, Hedda. That's important. Any chance an actress gets to develop herself is all to the good. Like everyone else, actors need the stimulation of a challenge. Sometimes you've got to be pushed out of a rut. To be forced into versatility has never hurt anyone.
All right, all right. So now you're a villain and you're happy. But I still like your old style way of killing people.
Well, what do you mean?
The way you did it at my house the other night. Remember, Hope?
Oh, me the singer. Huh? That tender little southern ballad, you mean?
Yes, the old style, Hope Emerson, that movie audiences have never had a chance to see or hear. Oh, go on, get over to the piano, and I'll stop arguing if you start singing. Show people how versatile you really are.
Oh, you know, everybody nowadays is just a little swing conscious, so I'd like to give you my version of swing. Swing like they do it on good old 52nd Street and all points east of Noah. Yeah. Tell me, why do the people shout? What's that noise all about? Listen to the clanging of the bells. Can't be Mr. Forward. Not the guys at the running cord. I'll bet. Ooh, we'll say it's a great big crimson tail. Is that guy? Is that him passing by? It's green, the big grandson. It's green, the big grandson. And he's got a great big cigar in his mouth. Whoop, that's how I look. Wow, wow. Tell me, does it come from Alabama? Oh, no, no, no. Mississippi or Louisiana? Oh, no, 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 no. I'll bet I know the state that surely claims that boy. He must be from down south. We'll say Chicago, Illinois. And he's got a great big cigar in his mouth. We're talking along. I know the one I see.
Mine, a Hollywood actress who's been getting no parts in pictures, is making a living selling costume jewelry and atom bomb shelters. Well, Herbert Brennan celebrated their 47th wedding anniversary yesterday. He made movie history with Annette Kellerman in Neptune's Daughters. Pug Wells, whose story was responsible for Three Guys Named Mike, telegraphed me from Clarksville, Mississippi. My welcome home was stupendous. The home folks lost their mind. So did I. I'm so happy I'm busting out all over. A Las Vegas gambler claims he'll file suit against the government because he rolled a natural at the crap table with plenty of money down when that atomic explosion went off. The table rocked. You're way ahead of me. The table rocked, the dice jumped, and the natural became a pair of snake eyes. Lily Saucier, stripteaser, will be dressed by Christian Dior when she undresses for her Ciro opening. This week, Anne Baxter was nominated for an Oscar as the best actress of 1950 for her work in 20th Century's All About Eve. As you probably know, Anne's other name is Mrs. John Hodiak, and they're very happily married, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. There's only one difficulty. John is under contract to MGM. Net result, these two practically never have a chance to act together.
Oh, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
Oh, stop it. You're stealing my stuff. My item is that in The Walls of Jericho, one of Anne's dramatic successes, John did appear as co-star despite what is said on the marquees. How come? Well, because of the Hodiak family's habit of queuing each other over the breakfast table in the parts they're working on. Of course, no one outside the family gets to hear them.
Until you dropped in and caught us working on Jericho.
Yes, Anne, and ever since, I've thought the public would like to hear the burnt toast version.
With me, instead of Cornell Wilde, as Dave Connors.
With me, still as Julian Norman.
And with me, as Hedda Hopper, who will now set the stage. Jericho. That's the name of the small town on the plains of western Kansas. In Jericho, there were the usual number of secrets. But, as in every small town, the secrets had walls around them. And the walls were high and strong in the year of 1908. For instance, there was a man who had made an unfortunate marriage, a young lawyer named Dave Connors.
That's me, but I'm getting along all right.
Yes, in 1908, there was nothing to do but make the best of it, and Dave did. In fact, he had quite a future in politics. But his marital situation also made him an object of sympathy to other women.
My husband tells me you're thinking of running for public office, Mr. Connors.
Oh, that's a long way off, couple of years at least. A lot of things can happen in the meanwhile.
You must drop by sometime and tell me about it.
Thanks, I will.
When?
Mrs. Wedge, you realize I'm pretty busy and...
When?
Yes, that was Algeria Wedge. The wife of a friend of Dave's, but Dave never dropped by. And Algeria never forgave him. There was another girl in Jericho in 1908, but of course Julia Norman was only 17 years old.
My father says we're going to move to Delaware, Mr. Connors. I mean, we'll miss you. I mean, both of us. Goodbye, Mr. Connors. I mean, goodbye.
Yes, another wall around a heart in Jericho. And the walls remained strong until 4 years later, 1912, when the walls came down with a crash.
Wait. Wait. You're not even in condition to know what you're doing. Put that down. Now, don't be a fool. Give me that gun. Give me that...
No. No.
Why do I ask? I've seen it coming. I've known for months now. Ever since.
You come to my party so seldom, Dave. I know your wife, Belle, doesn't go out much.
Well, I've been pretty busy myself, you
know. Never mind. I understand. But there's someone else here who wants to meet you. Here. Hello, Mr. Connor.
What? Julia. Julia Norman.
Yes. She's come back. Well, I'll run fetch you both some punch. See if you can't persuade the great man to stay a while, darling.
What's the matter, Dave? Have I really changed that much?
Well, if you don't mind my saying so, a real miracle's happened to you.
In what way?
Well, in many ways.
It's only that, like Topsy, I've just grown.
Yes. Well, Julia, why haven't you come to see me before? You and your father were always such good friends.
Oh, I did. 3 or 4 days ago at your office.
What?
But your clerk made it pretty clear that you didn't want to be bothered with she lawyers.
She you mean you... Well, you're not the one that judged...
Of course. I'm not only grown up, but I'm a lawyer now, too. So, I guess we'll be seeing quite a bit of each other, won't we?
My dear Miss Norman... It seems perfectly clear to the county which I represent that a man is guilty of malicious mischief when he pays his wife alimony in the following manner. $20 in pennies buried in a bucket of axle grease.
My dear Mr. Connors, the mere desire to vex or annoy is not enough to constitute legal malice.
In Johnson versus the State in 88 Southern, reports 348, the courts held that a man who drops rotten eggs into his neighbor's well is guilty of malicious mischief.
Oh, yet... In Dawson versus the State 115, Georgia 218, in a complaint charging a barber who playfully cut a customer's hair in a disfiguring manner...
But you will recall that in the People versus Blake 1, Wheeler 495, regarding putting irritants on public towels...
Just a moment now, just a moment. May I read you the State versus McPeters on page 145? Oh, here it is. The offense
of malicious mischief is not established unless actual destruction of property or injury to property is proved. Well, if you will dig down to that bucket of axle grease, I think you will find that the pennies have not been injured or destroyed.
Tell me something, Miss Norman. Do you always use the same perfume in the conduct of your legal duties?
I think we were speaking of a bucket of axle grease.
Yes. Well, I guess the county I represent may as well drop that case.
Thank you, Mr. Connor.
Oh, wait a minute, Julia. You going home? I'll drive you.
Wasn't it out of your way?
Miles.
Then I accept.
Beautiful evening, isn't it?
They've all been beautiful. I mean, the ones when you brought me home.
Brought you home and left you at the gate.
Oh, don't, Dave.
I'm sorry. Good night, Julia.
Oh, Dave.
Julia.
I've been in love with you for as long as I can remember. Even when I was a child, when you used to come and see my father. You never knew it, but I used to walk blocks out of my way just hoping I'd catch a glimpse of you.
Well, here is nothing to cry about.
Oh, isn't it? You're married.
If I ask Belle to free me.
She'll never do that, and you know it.
I know.
Besides, there's your career. If you're going to be Senator Connors, you'll be running against Tucker Wedge. He owns a newspaper. He'll be a hard man to beat.
My career isn't so important.
Oh, it is to me, and it is to you, too. And there won't be any if we keep on seeing each other.
Julia.
Oh, listen. Mrs. Abernathy has a new player piano across the street.
Things like this have happened to people before and turned out all right, haven't they?
She only has 3 roles for it. She's getting some more from Chicago.
Julia, I love you. I know now I've never loved anyone before.
Oh, whose car is that? Down at the corner. Who's brought a Stanley steamer?
What? Oh. Well, Tucker told me about it. It's Algeria Wedges.
Good night, Dave.
You mean goodbye, don't you?
Yes, Dave. Goodbye.
Julia was right. And we didn't see each other any more than we had to after that. I filed for the election. I worked hard to think about being senator. Until today, middle of the campaign, I was in court. It was quite a scene. A reporter handed me a newspaper. Yes, Tucker Wedge's newspaper.
Hey, how about this, Dave? Any statement to make?
Well, what in the name... Dave Connor sued for divorce.
Sure. Why don't you let us in on these things? Says your wife named Julia Norman, correspondent.
Candidate for Senate accused of misconduct with woman lawyer.
It's a bunch of nasty words in this state. Come on, what do you got to say?
Get out of my way. Belle, listen to me. You and I have lived together for a long time. I've always let you have your own way. Why did you do it? I've tried to help as much as I can with your problems, your sicknesses, your drinking, but why? Why now? Who put you up to it? Don't you realize the scandal to yourself? Don't you realize how many people will be hurt? Belle, wait. You're not even in condition to know what you're doing. Put that down. Now, don't be a fool. Give me that gun. Give me that gun. No. No. Belle, why? Why did you...
Respiration's pretty weak. Lucky Mrs. Wedge happened to be over there at the house when his wife shot him. Lucky somebody was around cool enough to call an ambulance right away.
Doctor, keep asking for that Julia Norman. You know from what the newspaper
says. That's enough. Town like Jericho, young lady, it's better some things aren't gossiped about. Better keep such things quiet.
And that's why I thought it would be better your
Honor, to bring certain things out into the open.
Miss Norman, it is understood that Mr. Connors is unable to return to this courtroom due to the unfortunate episode which has taken place.
I think everyone knows. His wife shot him.
Well, is it your intention, Counselor, to take his place in the handling
of... It is my intention, Your Honor, to move for a continuance of whatever business was at hand. Due to the fact that even your courtroom has been made the scene of a deliberate attempt to besmirch the name of a political candidate.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
An attempt to beat Dave Connors here in public because he couldn't be beaten at the polls. I see people here are buzzing already because I'm here to take his place. The other woman in his life. Of course they are. Because it's quite true.
Order, please.
It's true that I love him and that he loves me. But that we are guilty in the slightest degree of the conduct described on the front pages of the papers. I deny just as forcibly as I confess my love.
Just a moment. These charges of intentional blackening of a political candidate's name are very serious.
They are also relevant to this court. False gossip about a lawyer must prejudice any case that he's trying. So with the court's permission, it is my intention to prove here and now that a certain woman in this town has maliciously instigated the entire affair. She has spied in person on Mr. Connors and myself. It was she who induced Mrs. Belle Connors to file divorce proceedings. It was the same woman who arranged for publication of the story in her husband's newspaper, when it would help her husband most by embarrassing Mr. Connors the most, both in this courtroom and the rest of the state. There comes a time, Your Honor, when the only answer to gossip and slander is truth. And so I asked Mrs. Algeria Wedge to take the stand. Algeria told the truth. Enough of it. What else could she do?
I don't care about any elections.
You don't think her husband could ever win one now, do you? So hurry up, dear, and get well.
Sometimes things happen to people and... they do turn out all right, don't they?
Even the walls of Jericho can come down, darling.
Yes. If you make enough noise.
If you've got something to shout about. Let's leave show business for a minute and talk about something which seems mighty important to our future. Let's talk about the great American indoor sport of criticizing our political leaders. How many times have you heard someone say about a man in office, "Why, that hypocrite. He isn't thinking about his country at all. He's just worrying about getting votes." Maybe you said it. I guess I have, too. I was wondering if all of us who are in business in one way or other aren't sometimes guilty of an equally dangerous sort of hypocrisy. Here's what I mean. This is the greatest production country in the world. In fact, our production ability is a major source of our strength. One thing drilled into all of us in our business training is the customer is always right. Maybe it's time for each of us in the conduct of our business to put a limit on this policy. Otherwise, isn't the politician entitled to say right back at us, "Why, that hypocrite. He isn't even thinking about his country. He's worried about his sales." Every day, all of us hope and plead for more honesty, better leadership, and less selfishness in our political office holders. But we're not entitled to ask it of them unless we're willing to lose a sale or a job by talking and fighting for what we believe in. If we're afraid to talk and work in defense of our freedom for fear of losing a sale, we may lose both. And in the beautiful words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, "'Tis man's perdition to be safe when for the truth he ought to die."
The novel by Paul Weldon, whose latest book, The Iron Mistress, will be published by Doubleday. Next week, NBC will again bring you Hedda Hopper with News of the Stars and the Stars That Make News. We'll have a musical visit with Park Avenue hillbilly Dorothy Shay. An Argument with David Niven and a comedy highlight starring Rosalind Russell.
Good night, everybody.